We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to Light Years, a special Light Years happy birthday message to Big Jim, 21, same age as Andy. Yeah.
Do you remember, Sam, what you were doing on your 21st birthday, by chance?
No comment.
I don't.
You know what? Where do we think Wiseman's spending the 21st birthday? Do you think he's at Beauty Bar on Thursday night? On a Wednesday night in the Mission?
I forget you're a Mission guy. He's not on the bench anymore, so I feel bad. So maybe he's spending it at home with his boys or something, just relaxing and having a couple of brews. Happy birthday, James Wiseman. Hopefully, get healthy, man. Get healthy.
Legally.
Yeah, yeah. Now legally. Good for him. Get healthy, big guy.
All right, let's get to it. Sorry, I just have to throw that out there. All right, so Warriors,
he seems like a rooftop bar kind of guy, though. By the way, he's definitely on Tetcho. But anyway,
you know what? For the callers later, let us know where in San Francisco, actually the in broader Bay Area, you think James Wiseman's spending his 21st birthday.
let's get to the business at hand. Obviously, Warriors lose to the Phoenix Suns. What was it, 108-103?
Yeah, something like that.
Am I insane for walking away from this game and thinking if Steph's healthy, it's a 5-game series in the Warriors' favor?
Whoo! All right.
Like, I will back this take up. I'll go through the entire I'm excited to talk about it. But my biggest take from watching this game was I still have a lot of questions about this team.
Right.
I don't know how I feel about them against the Memphis Grizzlies. I'm not concerned about the Phoenix Suns if they're fully healthy.
Okay, make your case. I'm gonna let you keep
walking. Let me get cocky on it. Okay, I'll start with this. So everyone's listening to the show, watch the game. Jordan Poole, amazing. Phoenix Suns pull away at the end. We will break down the infuriating possession of Draymond getting a turnover, and then Jordan Poole pulling up from half court a little later in the show. To me, I watch the Phoenix Suns, and I just see a team who plays into the Warriors' strengths. They don't make the Warriors uncomfortable. They are a phenomenal team. They execute at what they do. But they don't – nothing they do makes the Warriors second-guess who they are. DeAndre Ayton does not make the Warriors uncomfortable. Chris Paul, they know. Devin Booker, one of the best scorers in the league, one of my favorite players to watch in the NBA. He does not force the Warriors to send three bodies or something. He doesn't force the Warriors to do the things that they have to do against, like, LeBron James or what teams do against Steph Curry. And Mikal Bridges, great wing defender, but he's just one guy. I'm watching this whole thing. I don't think Phoenix can score on them at a clip they need to if Steph Curry's out there. And I just don't see them making the game uncomfortable for the Warriors. The best way I can make my case is if I juxtapose it to Memphis. Memphis makes the Warriors reconsider going small because they can rebound the ball so well. They're so physical that it makes the Warriors reconsider all the things they do. No one on the Warriors outside of a healthy Gary Payton Jr. can stay in front of Ja Morant. It makes them reconsider the things they do. Phoenix just executes well, but they don't make the Warriors schematically, you know, reconsider anything. And when I see Draymond, Andre Iguodala engaged at that level, all I'm thinking is if the Warriors are healthy and at their A game, they can handle Phoenix.
I agree with pretty much, I think, everything. I think the one my big takeaway from this game is, yeah, you're right. That last piece you just said, we just saw Draymond engaged. And that was pretty scary, right? That was about as good as we've seen. That was early season Draymond is what that was. And when we see that,
that was December Draymond right there.
Exactly. Me and you were curious. It's not like we thought he couldn't do it again. We were curious whether he had that in him. Sam, it looks like to me that Draymond really doesn't. He's just not going to do it unless he has to. He's going to look at the Atlanta Hawks road game and just say, yeah, you know what? Fuck it. I'm just not going to show up. I think that's what Draymond's doing, because the guy that we saw tonight, he was the best defender that we've seen in 10, 15 years, right? Like, that's who he was. And I think when that's the case, he pretty much erased the impact of someone like DeAndre Ayton, right? And he erased throughout the game kind of your Devin Bookers of the world. They're not giving those easy buckets that the Suns get because, like you said, they out-execute everyone. Now, I think part of this is, you know, Devin Booker was awful tonight. He's not always going to be that awful. I'm with you. They're never going to need to double him, but Devin Booker's never going to be that awful. On the other hand, Klay Thompson was disgusting, right? I think he missed as many shots as Devin Booker, so maybe that evens out a little bit. I'm with you, though. The one thing about Memphis is that they do remind me of OKC, right, where they're just faster, stronger, quicker.
They make you reconsider what you do.
Yeah. They're not better. Like, they're not smarter. But they're definitely larger, faster, quicker, everything. So and the Warriors are, you know, instead of the Warriors being 27, right, 27, 28 years old, where they can kind of still get with OKC like they did, now they're 30 plus, right? Now it's a lot harder to do that. And I think with Phoenix, they play at such slow pace. It's a Chris Paul team. They're never going to try to run the Warriors off the floor. And when that's the case, I think the Warriors are okay with that. Chris Paul made some big plays down the stretch, but I think you and I are never really concerned. Right, about a Chris Paul.
He's like, let's separate the two things. I think Chris Paul is an excellent player. He does not strike fear into my heart in terms of
absolutely not.
Like the Warrior, they do need to be more engaged. They can't have dumb plays down the stretch to beat a Chris Paul team. But it's capable. I wanna bring this up to you. You brought up Devin Booker's not gonna be this bad every time against the Warriors. He was 5 for 21 tonight. Objectively, like he's a better player than that, right? The two other times he played against the Warriors this season, 4 for 9, but he only played half the
game. He got hurt.
So we don't know what that means. Christmas, 5 for 19.
He was coming off the hamstring. He had only played a couple games.
So you're not reading anything into
this. I'm agreeing with you. I think he's not someone that the Warriors – I mean, you're saying it tonight. He's not someone that the Warriors are going to reconsider their defense on. I think it feels a little bit like James Harden, right, where he's not Kyrie, where Kyrie is someone the Warriors truly fear. I think he's on that James Harden level where it's like he's pretty freaking good. He's going to get his buckets. What? Can you live with GP2 on him? Can you kind of double him and make him make mistakes? I think the Warriors can, and I think that's your point. I'm with you. He's going to be better. He's going to make some big shots, but yeah, he doesn't have that. He's like an old man game kind of guy, right? Like, he's not exploding over the Warriors or anything like that. He will be better, but I think the Warriors have the bodies for him. Even someone like Wiggins, I thought, did a decent job against him tonight. It's really the big thing for this team is they just make so many dumb plays. The Warriors do.
And how much of that was Steph not being there? How much of that was, I mean, I feel I want to push this one out there. The closing offensive miscues were definitely Steph related. Like, that was a level of, we don't know what to do in a single possession games without our guy, you know? So I don't want to excuse it, because they've had issues with it with Steph, but like that's what I was seeing down the stretch. I don't know if you saw something different.
Yes. Well, I mean, you could all, that's always going to be true because Steph is the guy. I mean, look at the record without Steph, right? But also I've just seen them make these dumb plays so much this season. I know we had Marcus on yesterday and he was kind of saying like, hey, as long as those three guys are out there, like, great. But to me, it's like they've just made so many dumb plays down the stretch. And Steph has been part of that. I think that's a concern. The Suns have been the best crunch time team. I think the Warriors down the stretch, they just need to find a way to be better. Even with Steph. I don't know, right? Like, we'll see what that actually looks like, because if you have Steph and Jordan Poole out there, the shots are going to be wide open. And tonight, I mean, by the end of the game, the Suns have pretty much started doubling and all of that with Jordan Poole, right?
So can we talk a little Jordan Poole? Because like part of the reason I'm optimistic about this game is, two things. One is I saw physically what I needed to see from Draymond Iguodala.
Yep.
Number two was Steph didn't play and Phoenix was in a dogfight with, you know, a Jordan Poole-led Warriors. So I'm watching this and I'm going, okay, if Draymond and Iguodala are healthy and they get Steph back, it just feels very advantageous for the Warriors. Even if they lose tonight, even though they fall to the four seed, we didn't even mention that at the top of the show. I apologize to our listeners. I need to be more on top of it. The Warriors are officially the four seed today. I mean, we got another week and a half, and we'll see how it plays out. How do you feel about Jordan Poole right now? Let me take you that way.
He had an off-ball play coming off a screen after a redirection where I thought, holy shit, that's Steph Curry. And Draymond was essentially just looking for him. He comes off and he just pops it. I think the thing with Jordan Poole I've always had a little issue with is he can't really shoot coming off the ball, but that's changed in a season, which is incredible. He's always seemed to me like an on-ball shooter type of guy, right? And Clay's kind of the opposite. But again, I think something like tonight is just proving the point where you don't really got to worry about this guy in the postseason, right? He's going to come and he's going to get his buckets. He's going to be incredible. I think that's someone you're going to now 100% have to close with. We thought that he was maybe not. At this point, second half of the season, he's closing every single game. And so the question for me becomes, it's going to be Steph, Draymond, Clay, Jordan Poole. Who do you put next to them? And I think for me, it's Andre Iguodala because of how he looked tonight, how good he looked tonight. And I think there's your five. And you won't make any mistakes offensively with that five. And now you've got another guy.
And I think that's going to be the interesting thing because I want callers to call in on this. You name five players. There's three other players I know who will be in the postseason rotation. Looney, I trust Looney to do Looney things. Like, he's objectively an amazing rebounder, great positional defender, and he'll put some things back on the offensive glass. Wiggins, it was an up and down night for him, but overall,
yeah,
I will live with this. Like, I thought he showed a lot of fight. You know he's going to play in the rotation. And then GP2, who hopefully it's not a serious injury. He's been fine. He's been battling some stuff for like the last month, really, to be perfectly frank. But I know he's going to play in the playoffs. So now we're talking about eight players who are in the key rotation. And I can kind of ride with that. You know, like, I'd like another big, honestly, like, to be honest. But like, I can ride with eight guys. I didn't even throw Otto out there.
I was going to say.
He didn't have a great game, but I think he'd be better tonight. That's kind of where the Warriors are at right now. And I'm going to take this back to Jordan Poole. Dude just has cojones. I don't know how else to put it. Like, he's a necessary elixir to this team. He has he's willing to mix it up in a way that other guys won't. Like, I feel like getting hit Andre back with Poole back, it's like the perfect yin and yang, right?
Sam, yeah. I mean, Andre, I hope he plays forever. I think he's done. I think he's going to retire. He talked about the amount of injuries that he had. But Jesus, he's perfect for this team. Just the amount of mistakes that he takes off the plate. Jordan Poole tonight, Sam, the Suns have the best defense in the NBA. They couldn't guard Jordan Poole. They had no chance. They had absolutely no chance. Chris Paul looked 38 years old against Jordan Poole. 58 years old. D-Book, just countless dumb penalties.
You look like you and me guarding Zaza in the Warriors World Tournament. It's not happening.
It wasn't. It was not happening. I mean, even Steph doesn't abuse CP3. Like, well, actually, I take that back. Steph abuses CP3. But, like, they couldn't touch
him. Not as saucy, though. Not like, it's the in-and-out crossover that he does that's just like, ooh, that's mean. Like, you know, it's just.
Yeah, Steph, he has a little Kyrie. Like, he has a little Kyrie to his game where it's like, holy shit. Like, I don't know. The Suns could not guard him, and that was the only guy the Warriors had today that could dribble the basketball. That's the only guy the Warriors have that could dribble the basketball this season besides Steph, right? It's just those two guys. And still, the Suns could not guard him. Could not. And I think when you put him next to Steph Curry, Sam, they got to figure out a way to play those guys together at maximum every game, whatever the amount is they need to, because the guys with those guys on the floor, this offense
it's the most interesting. So if we assume Steph is coming back, which you and I both do, and
coming back healthy too.
Yeah. I don't really see the point in discussing the alternate scenario, because the alternate scenario is they lose
in the first round.
Exactly.
Yeah. So
statistically, when they play Steph and Poole together, that is the best combination they have outside of Steph and Draymond. And when those three play together, they play like borderline dynasty level Warriors plus minuses
early in the season.
And that's going to be the interesting thing, because I'm watching, you know, Phoenix is look, I don't want to undersell them. They're a really good team. But I'm watching them and I'm sitting here going, the Warriors' best is better than their best. It just is. And if the Warriors can get healthy, I feel pretty good about them against Phoenix. I do. And that was my main takeaway from watching this. And to your point, yeah, they got to figure out how to play Poole and Steph together and trust them. And I feel like that's probably a Steve Kerr question, because I feel like when games get tight, he's going to want to pull Poole off the court and ride defense.
I swear to God, if that happens, I will punch a hole in my TV screen, you know, like those YouTube. I mean, it's not acceptable. Like, middle of the season, I think you can make that argument when Jordan Poole was chucking up shots and shooting 32% from three, maybe, right? But right now, I mean, this guy, we saw, and I think Klay Thompson, who shot, you know, 1 for 38 tonight, like, that's someone that needs Steph back. The amount of bad shots that Klay has taken off the dribble is because nobody is getting him the ball. And then he's like, okay, I'm going to go chuck up bad shots and he can't make them, right? And tonight's one of those nights. And I think
he might make them.
That's
the problem. He makes enough of them that he thinks he should constantly take them.
Well, we're used to it. I mean, we'll live with it, but you'll live with it when it's next to Steph. And I think the prime example is we saw it at against Milwaukee. Draymond was out, but you saw that game where Milwaukee, I don't know what they were thinking, but they were doubling Steph and just leaving Poole and Klay wide open. It's easy money. I mean, those guys are elite shooters, right? And that's just Denver, right? Remember the game against Denver?
Yeah.
And they just left Poole open every single time. That's easy money. And I think this team maybe isn't as good defensively, although tonight they were fantastic because of Draymond. That's one of the reasons why we believe in this team again. But they're not going to be as good defensively, but they might be better offensively than that first championship team because of Jordan Poole. That's they need him out there 30 plus minutes a game in the postseason. They need him.
One last thought on that is, if you play Steph, Poole, and Klay together, I think it's a little easier to play Draymond and Looney together because if you're not going to send a double at Steph, I'll live with whatever shot Steph takes. Like, if he isn't gonna dominate one on one, it's just like it's a 1 in 10 night, right? But if you start sending doubles at Steph, now you got Poole going, you got Klay getting open looks. I think it is, given the roster, probably the best way to play him to have those five guys play together. You know, if you have Draymond and Looney together, that's probably the best coverage you can have to cover for the Steph Poole backcourt. And then you have Andre to throw in there. You have GP2 to throw in there. It's interesting. It puts the Warriors, if they can get healthy, which is honestly the biggest question right now. Like, I feel cautiously optimistic and good about the roster going into the playoffs, but if they can get healthy, they might have the combinations to make it work.
Yep, I'm with you. And I think there's still missing kind of a concrete fifth guy at this point. I think that makes it tough. But again, I think that the story of this game is you put Jordan Poole and you put Steph next to these three guys, and that's the beginnings of a title contender.
And let's just sum it up. It's because we saw Draymond healthy. It's because we saw Andre Iguodala healthy.
Yeah.
And like, there is a fair counterpoint. Can they hold up for 2 months of playoffs?
Yeah.
But what I saw tonight alleviated some of my concerns that Draymond was, let's just say, more hurt than I thought he was. I don't know. He looked like Draymond to me.
Draymond is not playing 100% in the regular season in meaningless Wednesday games if Steph ain't there, is apparently what we've learned. Or if the whole team isn't there, right? Like, he's just like, screw it. And we saw, actually, honestly, dude, we saw this in 2019, right? He got kicked out of like 18 games because he was just like, well, fuck, I'm the only guy here that's playing. Like, screw it, I'm just going to get booted. But, you know, some of it's like, Draymond, come on. Like, you could be a little bit better in these other games. But, hey, if you got him playing like this against Phoenix, you've got him looking like that, then, you know, just wait till the first round series against Utah. He's going to look incredible. And he hates Rudy Gobert. It's going to be even better.
Poor Jazz.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
All right, let's you want to get to the questions?
Let's get to the games.
Dylan, what's
up? Hey, boys, what's up?
What's up, brother?
You know, Wednesday night.
I am, not happy we lost, but obviously super happy to watch Jordan Poole drop almost 40 points on those idiots. I'm going to bake a cake the day that CP3 retires from the NBA. I hate that man so much. Just the foul baiting, the yelling at everybody, even his teammates. Like, I can't take it. But I did have one serious question for y'all. So do you think that Kuminga, you know, only paying, 5 minutes or whatever, do you think that's an indicator that he's in the doghouse? Or do you think it's more that this was a playoff-type game and Kerr's kind of showing us, like, hey, he's a rookie. He's going to play 5 to 10 minutes depending on matchup and all that.
Oh, that's a great question, Dylan. Appreciate you calling. I think it's a matchup thing. I think Kuminga is ahead of schedule, but that does not mean he's ready to – play Western Conference Finals.
He was good on Christmas. Remember that, right? But yeah, this is the smartest team in the NBA. I mean, shit, we're talking about Chris Paul, Bridges, right? Book, like, Jay is a smart player. Like, this is the smartest team in the NBA. You can't play a 19-year-old rookie. You just can't. He's gonna make mistakes. And when kids like that make mistakes, I mean, shit, if I was Steve Kerr, I'd pull him, and he wouldn't come back in either. Like, I agree. With that type of thing. And we love Kuminga. We think he's going to be amazing. But I think these type of games, you're almost thinking, like, if you're going to put in a rookie, put in Moses Moody. right? He's more of a consistent shooter and doesn't really make mistakes offensively and defensively. So I think it's just what happens. I think with Steve, it's like throw him out there 5 minutes. If he plays well, leave him in. If he doesn't, he's done. I think that's what happened.
Yeah, I'm with you here. All right, keep moving. Ryan.
Hey, what's up? Love the Persian thing you put on Twitter earlier today. That was funny. but what's it called? Taking a line out of Bill Simmons' book, Jordan Poole put his cojones on the table and told Devin Booker to just stare at them. He went up to Devin Booker and he's like, "Hello, Pierre, I'm here." And he just went at Booker the entire game. And I just feel like there's this subsect of Warriors fans that are worried about bigs in the playoffs. And when Draymond's locked in, no big's going to beat us. It's just that simple. He erases bigs all by himself, unless it's like Giannis.
Unless it's Giannis, yeah.
Giannis, that's it. Yeah. So I'm not worried about line up any of these teams, Utah, Denver, whatever. And also I have a take on Phoenix. They remember that 15-16 Spurs team? That lost OKC? That's the team that Phoenix reminds me of. Like, they're just going to play their style and their well-drilled machine, but they may not necessarily have the highest peaks, and we match up really well against them. I think it could be their OKC to what we could be what OKC was to San Antonio back in the day.
Oh, I like that. And that brings the conversation. Andy, you and I were texting about this, and we haven't talked about it, but DeAndre Ayton. So
yes.
The reason I think Memphis is a harder matchup for the Warriors is Steven Adams and Jaren Jackson actually make the Warriors consider what they want to do. DeAndre Ayton, Draymond's better than him. Like more physical player than him. Did he make Draymond consider anything he was doing all night? Like, all he was doing was taking like 8-footers, and like, he's kind of good at them, to be fair, but like, at no point was he making the Warriors reconsider anything they were doing.
He's also not elite defensively, and he's not necessarily punishing the Warriors on the offensive rebounds. I think the Warriors actually out rebounded the Suns. Like, there's nothing about Ayton that says like, shit, we're gonna have to double him. Right, like
get a second body on him. Yeah.
No chance. No. Steven Adams punishes the Warriors on the offense, and now I think the Memphis, they'll probably keep Steven Adams off the floor in crunch time. I think they'll go JJ Triple J at the five, and Triple J's, you know, he shoots a lot of threes, right? But that's kind of a problem too. I just think JJJ's elite defensively, right? You can play him at the five, and he's elite. And I think with DeAndre Ayton, like, I'm with you. He's not changing the game. He's not doing something where it's like, oh, no. Well, the Warriors are going to have to put Looney back in. the Warriors are going to have to.
It's not Giannis where you're like, oh, God. You know, like, we got to keep two bigs on the floor to keep off the glass type of situation.
Now, the one thing I will say is, you know, they could use a big to play in a lot of those Bielitsa minutes, who I thought was actually okay tonight. Like, he's been okay for a few weeks now. But they could have used someone like, you know, think your JaVales, your Bismack. I don't know why I'm naming Suns bigs. Bismack Biyombo's. Well, you're just solid bigs. Get some boards. Make a couple flip shots in the paint, right? Like, they could use someone like that in the bench minutes, like 10 minutes a game. Like, I think they could have done that, right? That'd be nice. But, I mean, when the minutes really matter, what are we talking about, right? Like, if it's 2-point game, 5 minutes left, Draymond's closing on the five like he did tonight. And that's simple as that.
Yep. Jacob.
Hey, guys. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. What's going on?
Beautiful. You know, I've had some time to cool off. I was pretty upset because anytime I see the Warriors lose to Chris Paul, which hasn't happened a ton over the years, but when it has happened, it doesn't make me a happy camper. But you know what? Overall, you know, we got to see, I mean, you guys covered it. We got to see Draymond be elite. He's fine. He's good. As long as he stays healthy. Andre, same deal. He's elite. You know, Wiggins and Clay couldn't hit the broadside of a barn, but like, I gotta think that those shots will start falling. I think what was so frustrating, and we've seen it since Christmas, the Warriors are a losing team since Christmas. I literally have a losing record. And a lot of that is missing Draymond and Steph for, and God knows who else for long stretches of time. We see these like late game kind of just weird decisions. And I'm kind of, I guess my question is like, how, what, to what extent do you think Steve Kerr and the Warriors like just kind of try stuff in the regular season? Like, you know that they want to win this game, but you know how much, because like that last play at the end, Poole is cooking. All you have to do is give the ball to Jordan Poole, the way they were calling fouls too, and just clear out and let him go get a bucket. And instead you have Draymond doing whatever the hell that was. So that's all I got. I'm encouraged overall. Just, you know, story of the last few months, just super, super frustrating. And I hope that we have a healthy roster, because I do think a healthy Warriors team, I'll take it against any team in the league.
Jacob, appreciate the call.
How much is the Warriors experimenting? Probably more than you and I want. Like, that's really, like, part of it is injuries. Part of it is Steve loves to experiment. But, like, that's my read on it.
The Warriors do have a nasty habit of that last play. Just, Draymond, just give the ball to Poole. Like, stop it with the dribble handoff. You get to the hole, you're not finishing anyway.
But that's kind of on Steve. Steve loves to get like
both. Right? Sure. To me, it's like just get the ball to Jordan Poole. These guys haven't stopped him for 47 minutes, right? Same with Steph. Like, just go get the ball, ISO.
You and I both know. Like, when's the last time Steve has called a 1-4 flat? Come on.
I know, but I'm just like, even the pick and roll, like, we've been asking for that, and the Warriors, it didn't matter when they had KD, because it just, who cares? They run anything, it'll work. But it's like, we've always at, like, just run the pick and roll. Now they do it more, actually. I mean, they do run a lot of Steph Clay pick and roll, and it works. They did today too. Clay bricked it. But I think it just in that situation, it's frustrating, right? It's just the Suns, they just, CP3 is just gonna say, you know what, I'm gonna get a switch and I'm gonna blow by Otto Porter and I'm gonna lay it up. Easy. Right. And I think with the Warriors, it's like, just, you don't need the misdirection. It reminds me, and I was tweeting this, reminds me of the Niners, right? Kyle Shanahan, 4th-and-1. And they just do like a Trent Williams misdirection. And they just full back dive. It goes nowhere. It's like, come on, just give it a Debo. Like, I could have called it. Not to say that these guys are dumb, but it's like, it's not that hard. Just give the ball to your best player. Come on. Yeah, too soon.
Next caller.
You're not even Adam. A Niners fan. It's not too soon for you.
Relax. Adam, what's going on, man?
Hey, guys. I'm gonna throw out a couple of key concepts here. 115. The Warriors are virtually unbeatable when they score 115 this year. And so there's a lot of talk about defense, but it's score, baby, score. They just gotta put up points like they did in kind of their historically great offensive seasons. And I think that's the one thing that Phoenix can't. You know, that's where they're vulnerable with. I've watched a couple of kind of games this past week against the Suns, namely against the Sixers and the Timberwolves. And the thing that those teams didn't do is they just crumbled in crunch time, because they only had two 20-point scorers, two scorers that were reliable in that game. Against the Sixers, Harden just, you know, he was terrible, you know, and in the Timberwolves game, Russell just didn't show up. So if you focus on the offense, you just, you know, run kind of baseline screens for, you know, with Clay, Steph, with Poole running point. I mean, I think that opens up kind of another just level of offense that I think the Suns can't keep up with. If you look at their four games this year, you know, split the season series with the Suns, but you know, Steph played three of those four games, but really, if you look at, you know, the wins, they had reliable short scoring nights from 3-4 about, and the Suns just couldn't keep up. Second thing, you got to adjust the narrative. People have got, you know, Chris Paul has gotten people buying into point that he's still a point guard. He's not. He's 30. He's 36, about to turn 37. You know,
he's a 5'10". He's 5'10", Draymond. I agree.
The new nickname for him should be Wizard of Ra, or basically the Illusionist, because people are buying in that his defense is still elite. It's not. Devin Booker is average on defense. You know, they're creating a narrative that he's great on defense. He's not. They got Mikal Bridges and Ayton that are you know elite. And,
I don't even know that Ayton's that good.
Ayton isn't even that great against the
Jay's falling off too. But they're smart. They're just a really smart defense.
Adam, team. We appreciate you. Yeah, I mean honestly, the reason I think that Mikal Bridges should be Defensive Player of the Year is because I think the other four guys are like. Whatever,
they're
like,
fine, right? Yeah, they're fine.
Yeah, he's kind of making his case by just like carrying other guys.
They're like Steph Curry, like they're just smart defensive players. But Steph is small, but some of these guys are larger, so it's easier. Anyway,
yeah,
just keep it moving.
Oh, Meekus.
Meeks.
Hey boys,
what are you doing?
Time, man?
I was closing my bar, watching the game, and when Clay fouled Booker, gave him center of the line. I knew how the game was going. And here's the thing. It's okay. Because I've come to a realization. I watched the Suns play the Bucks last year, and they crumbled. And it's because the basketball gods do not reward people who do not play with integrity or respect for the sport. And Chris Paul, he will not be rewarded. If I see that midget do the fucking pull, the rip-through foul, every time he does the rip-through foul, I think about committing acts of domestic terror. And I'm not joking. He is the worst, most insufferable behind Luka, Trey, and James Harden. It's Chris Paul number four. And Chris Paul might be the most insufferable about it.
He's number one.
Because he's not even that good anymore. He's not even that good. He does nothing through three quarters. And then in the fourth, he makes like 6 points. And everybody calls him the best. He's not. And the basketball gods will not reward him. He could average 60 against us in the second round. Steph would average 61. That's just how it goes. Because the basketball gods will not reward this shameless foul grifting. It will not happen. I'm not concerned about the Suns. I want them. We will beat them in five. If Steph Curry plays, there won't be any crunch time stats to worry about because there's never going to be any crunch time 5-point games. We're going to beat them by 10 every game, and I'm not concerned. To my greater point, Jordan Poole is going to be the reason we win the title this year, and I'm not saying that lately. Jordan Poole is going to be the key, and he's going to win finals MVP. They're going to give it to Jordan Poole because he's going to average 30 in the finals, and they're going to say, Here's your finals MVP, Jordan Poole. Great job. The Warriors dynasty is back. I'm ready for it. I was proud of Wiggins. He had 8 rebounds tonight. That's like probably the most rebounds he's had all season. That was awesome. Poole had a great rebound in the fourth that got him a foul. He went, it was his 9th rebound. He got fouled, sent him to the line. I think he's hustling on defense. I think he's showing something. There's no way Steve Kerr's not playing him in the crunch time moments. And I guess I'll leave you with this question. Right now, how it's going, if it's game 7, final shot, and you're a team and you have to blitz Steph, Poole, and Clay, who, if you're the opponents, who do you want taking an open three? Who are you hoping? Because I think right now, I think they would want Clay Thompson to be taking that open shot, not Jordan Poole or Steph Curry. That's my take. I don't know. Clay's got to show me something. Maybe it's fixed with Steph, Clay, and Draymond all playing. The one game they did play together, I think Clay had like 37 against Milwaukee. But right now, I think it's Steph and Jordan Poole's team. I'm thinking of like the Into the Spider-Verse, big Spider-Man, little Spider-Man. You know, Andy talked about it. When Poole ran off that screen and hit that shot, I was like, this is a Steph Curry clone. He may not be Steph Curry yet, but give it 5 years. That boy's gonna be a top 10 player in the league. I feel it in my bones.
I love
Thanks,
it.
Thanks, guys. I'm not worried. I love Suns. Inshallah, Suns in the second round. Let's get it.
He's the best.
Meekus asking to come on stage, and I'm like, all right, let's see what you got.
Premium listeners get 10 out of 10.
Oh,
Man.
I do feel like this is, you know, the Warriors lost tonight, but I do feel like this is a optimistic game. All I know is like just the energy level I saw tonight was infinitely different than Orlando. The Orlando Atlanta losses made me consider just deleting the whole feed. Like that's just where I was at. I was just like, you know what? We don't need this. The money's not worth it. It's just don't need it all.
I might just go become a. And, you know, I'm just going to go become an OKC fan. There's no expectations. Hey, he did ask
about
that
question. About to go hop on with some Poku takes.
Trey Mann's not bad. He's pretty good. He's got upside. What was he? What was he asking? He was asking, do teams want to see Clay or Jordan Poole? I'll tell you what, they don't want to see either of those guys shoot it. Clay, wide open, big shot. He's making it, man. We've seen it happen too many times.
Yeah, I'm not so concerned about Clay shooting the ball.
Come on. They want Draymond shoot it, but we know Draymond's not going to shoot it. So really, they probably want Andrew Wiggins shooting it because Andrew Wiggins might not pass it.
the ball's about to find Draymond's hands. Come on. You know the deal. So to Karima.
Hey now, fellas.
Okay,
so I'm okay because I've calmed down and listening to everyone's call. But I want to give a shout out to Belly this game. Okay, he was a +5. I don't think he was getting a friendly whistle at all, but he was busting his butt. He was 100% from 3-point range. Okay, and he played. I saw a different light in Belly's eyes in this game. He wanted it. He was confident. And so kudos to him for doing the dirty work. I love it. And yes, I want to knock Clay upside his head because it's like, dude, you know better. So you got to do better. All right. And my question, fast forward, how we come out against the Jazz, because the Jazz are coming off a huge loss after being up 25 against the Clippers. They're going to come in with, you know, like a bone to pick. Like, they got to get better because they're in the dumps. So if we come out with this same kind of energy, we will be okay. But what are your thoughts with the Jazz coming in to take a visit? And thanks for taking my call.
I feel better just listening to the call and Karima's voice. I feel happier. after it's a nice comparison to Mikus, just off the rails, my guy. Who has the tiebreaker, Sam, between the Warriors and the Jazz? Did you know?
It's in the air. It's okay. This game will determine who has the tiebreaker.
So it's a 2-game swing. This game, it's a 2-gamer. Is how important this next game is.
Joe Jacob sending memos, letting them know what this will cost. You know, internally hosting, being the home seed versus the road seed. That's Chase Center. He can't just get John Mayer back, you know.
they've got Toto coming.
It's not the same, dude. It's like, I have people texting me about John Mayer for reason other than that the ad's running all day.
Your body is wonderland. Yeah, you know, they've got 2 days off before Saturday when they play Utah. That's bodes well. Bodes well.
I think it's also important if the Warriors win on Saturday, it's pretty much a lock that they're either the 3 or the 4 seed. They're probably going to be the 4 seed.
So I think because they're probably going to beat the Kings. Like they need – if they win on Saturday. But what I'm saying is if they win on Saturday, it's – basically a lock that they've got home court in the first round. So
yep.
I think it matters. I think it matters for this team. I think Draymond, it matters for. We know how he feels about Rudy Gobert.
Friend of the show, Rudy. Yep. They need that win. I mean, this game is, it feels like a moral victory, but at the end of the day, the Warriors lost. They need a big win. It's been a while since they've had a big win. Just write down 28 points for Jordan Poole, right? And let's see if Clay shows up. It's one of those.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hi. How's it going, Ty?
Yo, yo. How y'all doing?
What's up, man?
I know.
Yeah, we're good.
Yeah, it was solid win. Good to see some fight. A while back, we had a conversation. It was 2 points I raised, and you guys kind of was acting like I was a little bit of a madman. Number one was Wiggins shouldn't close. And I think we've all come to the hopefully Steve figures out that Wiggins shouldn't close. I've gone a little bit farther now. I don't think Wiggins should start. I think he's well, not because he's like awful or whatever. I'm not into that. But Wiggins, his detriment, like he's a black hole offensively, can't necessarily make, or I'm not going to say can't, but doesn't necessarily make the timely snap passes that a Draymond, that an Iguodala does. So that kind of thing ends up hurting when it's Steph Curry who needs just a half a second of space, but it doesn't matter as much off the bench. And I think his lack of handle and just some of the deficiencies that he has won't be as impactful negatively towards the team if he's on the bench and then he can chuck.
What if Klay comes off the bench?
That's not happening. I just
– I don't – Man, Klay, I feel like your Steph Klay pool thing.
Let me deconstruct. I feel like what you're telling me is Klay and Wiggins should not play together because they do the same thing at different levels, obviously. Like I'm not saying Klay's as good as
as Wiggins as good as Klay, but it's like the same thing. Neither one of them are looking to make their teammates better with their passing. They're looking to kind of feed off of everyone else. So
let me ask you that. What if Klay comes off the bench?
I see too many teams leaving Wiggins open. They're not doing that to Klay. Klay could break 17 times in a row. They're not doing that to Klay. I see it with Wiggins too much. Like, and Wiggins was a striper early in the season. But at the end of the day, it's like if you have to choose Steph, Wiggins, it's so easy to choose Wiggins, and then we're honestly in a situation again and again and again where it's like Wiggins for three.
There's a lot of 2016 NBA Finals Harrison Barnes. All right, he's wide open. Hey, looks shook out there. All right, there he goes again. So that's why I've been on. I don't know how you bench Wiggins. It's just. This late in the season, I don't think that's possible. I see why. I agree, but I think it's easier to just not close with him. I think it's just you give me that shot with Andre. You give me that shot with Andre. I trust Andre more, even though Andre shoots like 32%, 30% from three. Like I trust that he's gonna make the big one more. Hell, I trust Draymond. Maybe I gotta.
Well,
here's the play.
Here's the play. One last thing. Here's the play. You bench him only in the finals for Andre. Because then it's like, what are you really going to say to, like, the guy who came off the bench, you know, like, when he was an all-star, right?
Well, I mean, by that point in the NBA,
Max Kellerman so happy. Yeah.
By that point, yeah, I'm with you. NBA Finals, anything goes. Like, Kevon's not going to start. You know how the Warriors are. I could see that. It's a good point. I could see that.
Ty, I appreciate you. That's a good call.
Wiggins was good tonight. He wasn't great. He was good.
Kiso, what's up?
Hi, guys.
Go.
Okay, when I saw that shot Poo took, I was like, is this going to be Steph Curry 2016 versus Oklahoma City in an overtime game? But clearly it wasn't even close. But is it just me? Did Draymond look like he lost about, I don't know, 5 pounds? Like, it must be on like James Harden diet or something.
He just shows up. Kiss, 10 appreciate the call. I thought she was gonna keep going.
No, isn't that like kind of your point though? I was like worried about him, and then he looked a little better.
By the way, I don't know if she finished with the call. If you didn't finish this call back yet, I feel bad cutting her off. But he really pulled off the James Harden. He just lost 10 pounds in a few days. What was he doing? Sauna? Drugs?
Wow. Sauna. Getting the we're gonna get through like 2 to 3 calls and then call.
Okay. All right, let's rip
Will. Through these. Will, what's up, man?
Fellas, what's going on? I actually feel weirdly confident after tonight, even though it was a loss. Iguodala, man, like that guy just continues to bring value to this team. We basically gave him like the bubble gap LeBron had to win the championship, where they just took off like 4 months. Kerr just let him go for 3 months and was like, just come back close to playoff times. We'll make it work. And that got me thinking, like, have we ever seen, like, maybe Kareem is the only guy I could think of who is a guy that's like 36, 37, you know, up that has impacted a like potential championship team as much as Iguodala can bring to the squad? Because I feel like Iguodala is just like a vital part to our success again. And the guy's like 38 and we thought he was done. Like, I love what I see from Iggy. He's just the man, dude. And weirdly enough, I just think our roster's getting healthy at the right time. And I mean, this has been a very tough stretch for us, but just get Steph back to close to 100%, man. I think we got a chance, fellas. The Suns don't scare me. Like, they beat a Lakerless, Anthony Davis without the Lakers. They beat Jamal Murray last year, who was out, for the Nuggets. And then they went six games without Kawhi against the Clippers. Like, I'm actually more scared of the Grizzlies. I'm kind of with you, Sam. So go Dubs, man. I know it was a tough loss, but we're right there, man. I'm excited. Jordan Poole, man. Who would have thought he'd be this freaking good? I'm stoked on Poole. Much love, guys. Go Dubs.
Thanks, brother.
Well, appreciate you as always. As it always goes, we want Iguodala. Let's get to William.
Yo, can you guys hear me?
We can hear you. What's up, man?
We're at the point where there's no moral victories, but I just want to give Jordan Poole and Kevon Looney their flowers personally. One, because Jordan Poole, although he missed most of his layups tonight, we're at the point where we're begging on like at the altar where Poole needs to start making layups or we would think that he will get out of the league. Now he's pretty much a Steph clone. It nearly brought a tear to my eye until Kerr decided to run a slip play for Otto that didn't work. So it's what it is. And we're at the point where I think the Denver game kind of taught us a lot about how the team should move forward in crunch time. Probably should have had the conversation a little bit earlier, but Clay and Poole probably needs to have a convo about, okay, Clay, I know that you're trying to do what you can off the injury, but three dribbles or less, and other than that, just give it to Poole or Steph, and they'll make sure that you get easier shots.
I think so. I disagree because I think Steph comes back and Wiggins isn't playing. Like, that solves the problem instantly. It solves it instantly. You're right, right? You can't, Sam. I think Sam mentioned you can't play Clay and Wiggins at the same time. It's not Clay and Poole. It's Clay and Wiggins, where you got two guys that just don't pass the ball or don't know how to pass the ball. You put Steph in there, I think it's gonna make it work. But you don't know if you can put Clay and Wiggins together with just Jordan Poole, right? Because Jordan Poole is not necessarily a pass first type of guy. But it's not a Poole or Clay type of. I disagree. I think Clay's gonna play the three the rest of his career anyway. So. Is what it is.
I mean, he's the size of a three.
Yeah, and he's the size of a four in today's NBA.
Yeah. All right, we're going to end it here. Chris, what's up, man?
Hey, guys, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. What's going on?
Man, somebody needs to slap Clay, man. I was so mad when he fouled, though. When he fouled, I was like, what are you doing? And every time he thinks he's going to get beat, he fouls. And I thought that was on Kerr, because if you take Jordan Poole out, the best player on the court, you take Clay out and put JTA in for defense. There's no egos here, man. Like, that pissed me off. Shout out JP. And that was just a bad play call at the end. Like, if that was a set play, then Otto should have slipped. I don't think it was. I think Draymond and Kerr, they was just – I don't know what they drawing up. That should have been an ISO pull, pick and roll with Draymond, create something for open shooter or get to the cup.
Easy call.
Yeah, thanks.
Appreciate you, Chris. I do agree. Like, if we want to get into the minutia of it, I do think they probably should just clear out for Poole in those situations. Like, it's too much trying to like get an increment, but whatever, you know.
But we've seen it for so long. That's my concern. We've just seen it for so long where they just pull this stuff, and it's like, it's probably going to be easier when they have Steph, Clay, and Poole on the floor. It's like you just simply cannot guard all three guys. Like, that's just how it's going to be. So that's really the bright side of this game, I think, is two things, right? It's you envision a Steph Clay Poole trio, it's unstoppable on offense, and then if Draymond gives a fuck, apparently he's still the greatest defender of his generation that he was tonight. So, and go.
All right. Appreciate everyone who called in. See you next time.